This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of I Want to Matter, Your Life is Too Short and Too Precious to Waste. Written and narrated by New York Times bestseller Kathy Lee Gifford. Available now everywhere you get audiobooks. This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of The Joy Challenge. Discover the ancient secret to experiencing worry-defeating, circumstance-defying happiness. Written by pastor and best-selling author Randy Frazee and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
This is CT Media.
Christianity Today, you're listening to Music and Meaning with Charlie Peacock. Beginning with folky singer-songwriters and rock operas, to hip-hop and heavy metal anthems, Jesus Christ has been name-checked in popular music a lot. Maybe not how you'd expect, though. Today, I'll look at pop stars and provocateurs who've riffed on Jesus through the years in surprising, irreverent, and sometimes deeply moving ways. Stay with me. The rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar debuted on Broadway in 1971. It recast Jesus as a counterculture hero, a superstar. Suddenly, to a new generation, Jesus felt contemporary and human. Both the album and the stage production were runaway hits. The recording was Billboard's best-performing number one album of 1971. The song, Superstar, even impacted the marching and pep band at my high school. I can hear myself practicing the trumpet in my bedroom, perfecting Andrew Lloyd Webber's ubiquitous melody.
One, two, three.
The infamous Jesus movement of the late 1960s had a musical architect. His name was Larry Norman, and he recorded for Hollywood's Capitol Records. In 1970, the Jesus music pioneer was busy wishing we'd all been ready for the imminent second coming of Christ. Not much of pop music shared Larry's eschatology, though. Most were inspired by Jesus as a man of authenticity and rebellion. The Savior as anti-hero, crushing the status quo with the open hands of love. It was the start of a radical remix of Christ's identity, appropriation through the cultural power of popular music. The first pop song I remembered that name-checked Jesus was Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. In 1969, as a 12-year-old, glued to top 40 radio, I love this song. Prepare yourself. You know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus so that you know when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the Spirit in the Sky. Next came the quintessential singer-songwriter James Taylor with his 1970 hit, Fire and Rain. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. Little did I know, a year earlier, in 69, the less mainstream proto-hipster band, the Velvet Underground, had released the song Jesus, written by Lou Reed with the lyric, Jesus, help me find my proper place. Help me in my weakness as I'm falling out of grace. And before that, the Byrds came out with a remake of the gospel song, Jesus is Just All Right. Though a commercial fail for the Byrds, the song became a smash hit for the Doobie Brothers in 1972. a perfect illustration of the zeitgeist. A band named after a cannabis cigarette, or doobie, giving their imprimatur to the Son of Man. Jesus is just all right with me, man. He's cool. With Ozzy Osbourne and his band Black Sabbath's controversial moniker and reputation, the lyric to their 1971 song After Forever might actually surprise you.
Have you ever thought about your soul? Can it be saved? Or perhaps you think when you're dead, you just stay in your grave. Is God just a thought within your head, or is he part of you? Is Christ just a name that you read in a book when you were in school?
If 70s musicians saw Jesus as an outcast, savior, and a general good hang, 80s metal bands conjured him as both avenger and a target of misplaced faith and trust. Take Slayer's critical and ambiguous Jesus Saves, with its alternating growls and classic noodly metal guitar licks. Many of these bands weren't promoting faith. They were, to use the vernacular of our time, weaponizing Jesus to provoke, and it worked. Remember Tipper Gore and the advent of the parental advisory label? By the 1990s, Tupac Shakur rapped about a black-centric messiah in Black Jesus, a savior for his community and circumstance, a black face in black spaces. The lyric went like this.
Black Jesus, he's like a saint that we can trust to help to carry us through. Black Jesus.
Then there was Kanye West's 2005 hip-hop prayer and breakout hit, Jesus Walks, with this lyric.
Jesus walk. God show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. Jesus walk with me.
Students of American history will recognize that Tupac and Kanye were channeling a black American sentiment birthed long ago through spirituals rooted in the lives of enslaved African Americans looking to Jesus as a source of hope and deliverance. I can only think of a few direct uses of Jesus' name in popular music that would qualify as richly poetic or a deep dive theologically. Still, the available examples are diverse, provocative, and worth noting. Here's critic John J. Thompson commenting on the 2016 release of Jesus Alone by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Jesus Alone is a prayer to something or someone, certainly. With my voice, I am calling you, he intones over a gorgeous tapestry of ambient sounds. Is it Jesus whom Cave is thinking of as he sings, you're a young man walking covered in blood that is not yours?
Whether an appropriation and lyrical device like Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus, or genuine investigative artistry like Paul Simon's Love in Hard Times, where he sings, God and his only son paid a courtesy call on earth. Or great songwriting from Taylor Swift, seamlessly integrating faith in Jesus in her collab with the Chicks, Soon You'll Get Better. Jesus in pop music is here to stay. Thank You, Jesus by Alanis Morissette. Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood. Jesus Etc. by Wilco. Jesus Christ Was an Only Child by Sunkill Moon. And Jesus Don't Want Me for a Sunbeam by Nirvana. And the list goes on. Portugal the Man with Modern Jesus. And the Killers singing, he doesn't look a thing like Jesus, but he talks like a gentleman. And just recently, I heard the Swedish metal band Ghost doing a remarkable cover of Jesus, He Knows Me from the British rock band Genesis. Look to the show notes for a comprehensive playlist, and not just artists who've appropriated Jesus' name in a title, But for those like Sufjan Stevens and you too, who have integrated the way of Jesus into their overall narrative, and even though it's a little off topic for this episode, I'll include some songs from the gospel and Christian music communities to broaden the listening experience. Several artistic voices have been lyrically intentional and explicit enough to garner gospel and Christian music attention, as well as pop music on the whole. A wide, but very short list would include Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Al Green, Johnny Cash, Edwin Hawkins, BB and CeCe Winans, Amy Grant, Switchfoot, The Fray, Sixpence None the Richer, Chance the Rapper, Her, and Lauren Daigle. Anyone can name check, appropriate a name, though. Anyone. Ultimately, it's about what story we tell about the name, how we bear witness through our lives and our art. Of course, Jesus knew this, which is why he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" After they gave various answers, Jesus asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Succinct, and yet deep and wide in its implication, the stuff of books, art, and music. Artists like me and those I've talked about here may spend a whole lifetime answering this Jesus question in all sorts of ways, some simple and easy to understand, others confounding, even irritating to some. I've name-checked Jesus in a few songs, In the Light, Monkeys at the Zoo, and Say the Name, a collaboration with Margaret Becker. And I once gave myself the assignment to write a song that was clearly about Jesus without ever using his name. I thought, learn how to do this. I might need the ability someday. My credo is this. If I ought to put the name of Jesus in a song and refuse to do it, then I violated my conscience, my mission. And it's equally wrong for me to put the name of Jesus in a song in ways that take his name in vain, which is, in short, to misuse the name. Especially if I think appropriating it will have greater commercial appeal, help me succeed by the world standards of success. That's just one of the lines I draw. I live within an economy of capitalism, and I seek to do good within it. But I live for a greater economy based in love and reverence for God.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
I think it's Hudson Taylor that gets credit for saying, Christ is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. And I suppose this is a theme in many songs that I've written. Definitely this one.
Will it be different now or the same? Have I changed it all? And if you were to die deep inside my soul, would you find Jesus there? Or a gaping hole. Spirit, come flush the lies out. Spirit, come on, come on, come flush the lies out. I say, Spirit, come on, come on, come flush the lies out. Come on, come on, come on, come flush the lies out.
The Jesus of pop, sometimes revered, sometimes subversive, sometimes despised, sometimes loved, sometimes the light in the darkness, but never, ever ignored. Be sure to check the show notes for links to the aforementioned playlists I created for you. Until next time, practice reflection, stay curious, playful, and positive. You've been listening to Music and Meaning with Charlie Peacock, a CT Media original podcast.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Areopagus Podcast. Two clergy of different traditions, Father Andrew Stephen Damick and Michael Landsman, discuss encounters of historic Christianity with other religious traditions. How do we engage with those who believe differently? Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was brought to you in part by Wheaton College's MA in Humanitarian and Disaster Leadership, which prepares Christian professionals to serve others faithfully and excellently. Called to help people facing disasters, human trafficking, poverty, or displacement as refugees? Visit wheaton.edu/hdl.